How I think of so many churches that have been divided and companies that have been divided and brought to bankruptcy because of murmurs and complainers that are greedy people. They only care about themselves. That's a lesson for each one of us to learn about God's people, because it happens even among Christians.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has served as a church pastor for nearly 50 years, and his desire is to unite his fellow believers in growing as Christ's disciples. To learn about Raul's personal spiritual journey, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com. You can also get a free DVD of his story by calling 800-634-9165. Today, as we continue our focus on the harmful fallout of sin left unchecked, we'll zero in on the consequences of harboring a negative attitude. Raul will explore the Israelites' habitual complaining in the desert to show us how routine discontent can seriously damage our relationships and even diminish the work God wants to do in and through us. Here's Raul Reese now with the message, The Sin of Complaining. If you have your Bibles, join us in Numbers chapter 11.
Let me give you a little bit of background this morning, as we want to see how God would speak to each one of us here this morning concerning the sin of murmuring and complaining. The people of God have not just been driven out of Egypt. Moses is their leader, and he's brought them over from the Red Sea as they're going 11-day journey towards Canaan. When you think of the experience of the children of Israel, and you think from the time that God delivered them in Egypt and sent them to Kadesh Barnea, the journey was really very easy to make. It was only an 11-day journey, but it ended up taking them 40 years to actually wander around the wilderness. Now, many people ask, well, why did God allow them to go around for 40 years around the wilderness? Well, number one is because God wanted to see what these people were made out of. Their problem was a problem of unbelief. They murmured and they complained against God. And God saw the heart of the people, as God wanted to test the heart of the people to see if they would change their hearts. And so God used the wilderness experience to not only deduct himself in numbers, but also to increase with those people that really wanted to know God and wanted to follow God. God always has his purposes why he does things. It seems also that when God is doing a good thing among the people of God, it seems that Satan also is working and is trying to destroy the work of God. And many times when Satan is actually trying to destroy the work of God, Satan uses people to destroy the work of God, believe it or not. People are really open sometimes to the destruction that Satan would want to bring upon the people of God. As a matter of fact, it's amazing how clear the 11th chapter of the book of Numbers is here. As the people of God are just leaving Sinai, God has spoken to them, God has appeared to them, God has been doing a tremendous work all the way through. When Moses came to Egypt, God delivered them after 10 plagues. And as they left, they were taking not only jewels and food and clothing, but many gifts were given to them. So on their way, on their journey, they can actually build a tabernacle and they could worship God. And the whole time God had said, look, I will lead you, I will provide for you. And on their way out, as they came to the edge of the Red Sea, on the right side there were huge mountains, and on the left, huge mountains. And as Moses got to the edge of the water with 2 million people, the people began to murmur and complain as they were looking backwards, and the Egyptians and the army of the Egyptians was coming to pursue after them and to kill them. Sometimes when situations arise within our lives, it seems that we forget that God has commanded to go, that God would divinely protect them. Even Moses, their leader, panicked. And as he started to pray, God said to Moses, "Moses, there's a time to pray, and this is not the time. Get up. And that staff that I have given to you, you go over to the edge of the water and you place it on the edge of the water, and the waters will heap up and you'll be able to walk to dry ground." And it happened. So as Moses began to cross the Red Sea with all these people, God set it up so there was actually an ambush that God set up as Moses got to the other side and the people were hurrying up to get to the other side. The Egyptian army with their chariots and all of their horses and all of their weapons went into the open sea, as the sea was actually leaning back and there was dry ground. And the whole setup is that the Egyptian army would come to the middle of the sea and then God would wipe them out and they would see the salvation of the Lord. And that's exactly what happened. And now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord had heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. And then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. And so he called the name of that place Taberah, which means burning in Hebrew, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now, because we haven't read the whole story, we don't have the whole meaning of the story yet. But these are the key players in this lesson concerning murmuring and complaining. The key players are the children of Israel. Secondly, when they came out of Egypt, they themselves allowed some of the Egyptians to come with them into the promised land. We call that group a mixed multitude. This mixed multitude was a very dangerous group to be among the people of God. The mixed multitude were a people that were constantly craving for the world, craving for the things of the world. They never wanted anything to do with God. Nothing at all. And the reason they were so dangerous is that this mixed multitude, because they were not in touch with God, and God was not in their lives, they infected the camp of God. They begin to talk to the people of God and say, "You know what? You're God. What's wrong with him? How come he doesn't help you?" How we have to be careful of the big multitude. Those that do not know God. Because the problem here in the murmuring and the complaining of the people of God here in the 11th chapter is it says that the people complained, but the Lord heard it. The leader didn't hear it. It was God that heard it first. And God informed Moses that these people were not, actually they were murmuring and complaining. They were not satisfied. They got tired of the manna that God gave to them. Manna at this particular time is bread from heaven. God providing for their needs, feeding them daily. They didn't even have to work. All they would have to do is go to sleep at night and God would rain from heaven manna for them and he would feed them where it would bring satisfaction. But because of the mixed multitude, because they were craving, they allowed the people of God in their infection to reflect back and say, "Don't you guys remember that when you were in the world in Egypt, you had onions and garlics and you had all these cucumbers and fish and all these things, but now you don't have anything but manna?" And you know how people are moved by a crowd. When somebody starts poisoning you and saying things, you start believing those things, even though they're not true. And they started believing the people, the mixed multitude. And when they started murmuring and complaining, God heard what they were saying. And God brought his judgment on them by God bringing a fire behind the camp as a warning to stop and to cease their murmuring and complaining before somebody would get hurt. But they didn't listen. How I think of so many churches that have been divided and companies that have been divided and brought to bankruptcy because of murmurs and complainers that are greedy people trying to build their own kingdom. They really don't care about people. They only care about themselves. That's a lesson for each one of us to learn about God's people, because it happens even among Christians. Look what it says in verse 4. And now the mixed multitude who were among them yield to the intense craving. You see, they were carnal. They were not spiritual. This was a congregation of evildoers, an assembly of wicked people. They were being led by Satan. All they care about is, what shall I eat, what shall I wear, and how much will I get? They didn't even care about the people. They didn't care about God, but they cared about dividing the people. Look what they did to the mind of the people of God. Verse 4, the second part. And so the children of Israel also began to weep again. And they said, these mixed multitude brought not only doubt to the mind of the people of God, but it actually made them to believe what they were saying. Look what it says. And they said, who will give us meat to eat? God was already providing for them. What more could they want? God already was giving them manna every day. There are some people in churches that they want more than the word of God. They get sick and tired of the word of God, so they start murmuring and complaining, when really, the word of God is all that we have. It's sufficient for us to learn to grow. Oh, but you see, I need a little bit more entertainment, a little bit more of the spirit. And there are churches that are good for that. But the importance in a church should be the importance of feeding upon God's word. Why? Because God's word will not only reveal himself to you, God, who he is, but he'll bring you to maturity in Christ Jesus. The word of God gives us every situation and problem that we need to know about. But when you have carnality in a church, and people are doing things by the motivation of carnality, then what happens is people are not sensitive. And so what Satan does is he has a field in that church. But Moses didn't let it happen here. God didn't allow it to happen either. God wanted to put a stop to it. But listen to their complaint. Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish that we ate freely in Egypt. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlics. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Notice that. Hey, listen. This is what they forget and this is what we forget. It's not the onions and the garlics and the fish. They forgot the real reason why they were in Egypt. They were in bondage. But they forgot. So easily we forget that the world has destroyed us. And that's why it's so important to understand that God knows what he's doing. Yes, even though we think about sin, and sin was fun, sin was destroying you. Sin was destroying me. Sin brings you to death. They forgot about that. But you see, Satan put these things in their minds by using this mixed multitude to bring this contention, to bring division among the people of God. Satan was trying to stop the work of God. God desires that we unify, not divide. God desires that we work together towards unity, that we work not only toward unity, but that Jesus Christ is the greatest example of all in accomplishing the work of God in our own personal lives. For God has called you and called me, and God has given to you and to me gifts and talents that he wants to use in your life, in this church, and wherever you fellowship, because God wants to build his kingdom, but he doesn't want you to build your kingdom. His kingdom is more important than yours. But he desires to have people that are in submission. Submission to him completely. This is the heart of God. Look what else happens as they speak of the manna. Verse 7. And now the manna was like a corn or seed, and the color of it was like color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it into the ground and a millstone and to beat it into mortar. And then they cook it in pans and they made cakes out of it. And it tastes like a taste of pastry prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp, the night and the manna fell on it. And then as the people murmur and complain, now Moses is aware of what's going on. And now Moses goes to God and God will speak to Moses. Notice verse 10 to 15. And now Moses, he says, he heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused, and Moses also was displeased. That's the second time that it says that God was angry with the people. And now even the leader is angry with the people. And so Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid this burden of all these people on me?" When Moses sees the people, he says, "God, they're your people, not my people. They're your burden." Verse 12. And then Moses says, "Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, 'Carry them on your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to your fathers'?" Notice that God has entrusted Moses and God has entrusted me with your souls. That's pretty heavy. That's why shepherds become angry when dividers are in the body of Christ. Because you are our people. I have to give an account for you. God has put me as a shepherd over the flock of God to feed and to protect and to watch over. And then verse 13, he says, "Where am I going to get enough meat to give to these people? For they weep all over me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. So God, why don't you just go ahead and kill me?" Good prayer. I said to Moses, "God, if I die, that's it. They're on their own." But you can't get off that easy. Because God wants Moses to learn some things. Look what he says. "But if you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. And if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness then." And then God, he knew Moses was just bummed out. He let him talk. And then you know what God did? I love what God does. God saw the problem and God solved the problem. You know how he did it? He went around the camp and he looked for 70 people that he could trust and he could pour his Holy Spirit over them and they would have the same mind with Moses and they would lift the hands of Moses and they would carry the burden with Moses and he would not be all alone. I like that. And as he takes his 70 elders, look what it says in verse 16. "And so the Lord said to Moses, 'Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, the ancients, whom you know to be elders of the people and offices over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of meeting that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take of the spirit that is upon you, and I will put that same spirit on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone.'" Notice what he says. I like that. We're to work together, not separately. We're to go into it together in everything that God is doing. And as God spoke and as God did the work, and as these elders received the power of God, the first thing that God asks is, "Sanctify yourselves," or "Set yourselves apart for the work of God." God desires that those that are going to bear the burden would be people of holiness. The rest of the chapter here, what happens is that he not only pours the Spirit of God, but look at verse 18. "And then you shall say to the people, 'Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord,'" or complained, "'saying, Who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, not 2 days, not 5 days, not 10 days, not 20 days, but the whole month until the meat comes out of your nostrils and it's loathsome to you. I like that. I like the way God works. You want meat? I'll give you plenty of meat. Till you're sick of it. Notice that. Tired of manna? Okay, I'll give you meat. Therefore, he says, notice again there, because you have despised the Lord who is among you. Mark that. The reason God did this is because they rejected God's word. They rejected the manna that God had given to them. And now God is going to give them something that will not bring satisfaction to their lives. No satisfaction with the meat that he will give to them. It says this. Then about verse 31, what happens is this. God says to Moses, Moses, tomorrow about noon, I'm going to send a wind from West Africa, and the wind's going to come up, and it's going to be in such a way where all these quail are going to be coming, and they're not going to be flying high. But I'm going to put them at 3 feet in height, and I want you to get your bats and hit 10 homers. That's what it says. You didn't know it said that? It says that in the Bible. It's in verse 31. He says, look. And the wind went out from the Lord, and he brought the quail from the sea to them, fluttering near the camp about a day's journey in the side of about a day's journey on the other side and around the camp and about 2 cubits, 3 feet high on the ground. And then the people stayed up all day long, all night long, and the next day, and they gathered quail. And he who gathered the least, notice, gathered 10 homers. There it is. So you imagine as they started there and they were batting these little quails down and they had so much meat that they couldn't eat it all. It spoiled and it stunk.
Well, just like the Israelites, we may not always like our life circumstances, but we've seen today that choosing contentment brings honor to the Lord. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's message can be heard again by going to SomebodyLovesYou.com, downloading the podcast through iTunes or Google Play, or by streaming it on any Alexa-powered device. If there's a friend or loved one you think needs to hear today's lesson, you can give them a CD copy by calling 800-634-9165 and ask for the message, The Sin of Complaining. Now, to further equip you to recognize and weed out destructive habits in your life, we'd like to offer you a helpful resource titled Sin, the Root of All Evil. It's a booklet that offers a deeper look at the potential devastation of spiritual compromise in the life of the Christian, and it can help pinpoint areas where you might be most susceptible to Satan's attacks. Take an important step towards safeguarding your heart from temptation when you get in touch with us to purchase the booklet titled Sin, the Root of All Evil. We'll send your copy for a gift of just $7.95 plus shipping and handling. To order this resource, just visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call us at 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order the resource by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. For continual spiritual support from all of us at Somebody Loves You Radio, be sure to follow us on Instagram. Our daily photos and video clips will keep God's power at the forefront of your mind as you celebrate His work. And when you visit us online at SomebodyLovesYou.com, don't forget to check out our online store for inspirational clothing and biblical resources. And whether you're connecting with us via Instagram, by phone, or online, be sure to share your prayer requests with us. We'll join you in lifting those up before the Lord. We'd also love to hear how God is using these programs to guide you in your spiritual walk. So let us know about that as well when you contact us. And don't forget, your contributions keep these Bible-based broadcasts on the air. Somebody Loves You Radio is supported through the generosity of partners like you, and every gift is tax-deductible. Tomorrow on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue this series on the destructiveness of sin. We'll see how jealousy and dissension will slowly but surely derail the work that God wants to do through His people, both as individuals and as a corporate body. Here's Roll now with the final word.
And then the judgment of God came. Look what it says, verse 33. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before they chewed it, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people of the Lord and struck the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hatavot, which means the graves of lusting or the graves of craving, where the people died. Why? Because they yield to their cravings. You see, anyone that actually is yielding to the things of the flesh is only making his grave, believe it or not. But how wonderful and how beautiful it is for those of us that are here this morning that are putting our trust in the Lord. And they were praying for one another and they were putting up with one another because of the love of Christ. God will reward you tremendously as you give your life completely to Him.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.